Monday, and that means it's time for MSDN Radio, the show that helps developers find what they're looking for. Good code, good conversation, but most of all, good time. So here to bring us into the week is our host, Mike Benkovich.
Hey, and thank you, Eric. I want to welcome everyone back to another week of MSDN Radio. This week we're going to be talking with Paul Stubbs from the SharePoint Evangelism Team, and we're going to find out all you need to know about what's going on, what's exciting, and what's what. It is the 2nd of August already. It's hard to believe that summer's gone by so fast. But we're going to be doing a lot of different events getting started up here in the fall. One of the things that's coming up is Microsoft did announce that we're going to be doing a PDC this year, and it's going to be out in Redmond. So if you're going to be around October 28th, that's a great opportunity to find out what's going on within the Microsoft space and all the different tools and products are going to be out there. There's also a lot of other conferences going on around SharePoint, and we'll kind of talk more about those once we talk to Paul. But just to kind of give you an idea of where you can get more information, MSDN Radio is a show that is talking about how you can connect in with a product group and find out what's going on within the technology space. The past shows are published out to Channel 9, so you can listen to this on Channel 9. And then I provide some links to go out and listen to past shows. So you can go out to bit.ly or tinyurl.com/MSDN Radio, bring you to the series of all of the shows that we've done. We do have an opportunity. If you're interested in participating in the show, you do need to register for the show. And then once you're when we're recording it, you can ask questions by dialing into the phone line. Just let us know you've got a question by submitting a question on the Q&A panel, and then we will bring you right in, and you can then see what's going to be going on, and you can talk to our guests and find out what else is going on. So make sure you do that, and then we'll kind of dive in from there. I am Mike Benkovich, and I'm your host today, and we have with us a gentleman by the name of Paul Stubbs, who comes to us from Redmond out at corporate. You're a technical evangelist for the SharePoint Office team. I want to welcome Paul Stubbs. How are you doing, Paul?
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Hey, and welcome to MSDN Radio. How's stuff out in your neck of the woods?
Good, good. You know, typical Seattle weather, cloudy and a little chilly today, but all in all, great day for developers to stay inside and write some code.
Oh, it's a good time to see what's what. I had driven out to Seattle a couple of weeks ago on a road trip. We did the drive from Minneapolis all the way out to Redmond in 2 days. It was a heck of a drive. But we had beautiful weather while I was there, and I know that the Redmond is and just the general the Great Northwest is a fun place to be. So what's going on for you today, Paul?
Well, we're finishing up some Tech Ready work. So Tech Ready is the internal Microsoft conference that goes on a couple times a year to kind of teach internal Microsoft people what's going on with new technology. So that was in Seattle this last week, and so we had a lot of great sessions in there for SharePoint. And then this weekend, you know, we've been doing a lot of work preparing some material to do development with SharePoint Online. So we're kind of doing an internal preview of that material that'll be out sometime soon. And then this week in Redmond is also VS Live going on here in Redmond. So I have some sessions that I'll be doing on SharePoint development there. So just super busy, tons and tons of stuff going on with SharePoint this week and last week, and just straight at it.
Did I hear you right? You're working through the weekend?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. My wife's not too happy, but, you know, it was a lot of great material, and just a great session to see this new stuff coming online for SharePoint Online.
So SharePoint 2010 has been very warmly received by a lot of people I've talked to. What things have you heard from developers as to things that they're excited about, new features in SharePoint?
Yeah, I mean, SharePoint in 2010 is just great this round, and it's great for a couple of reasons. One, that just the features that the product team has added to SharePoint really round out and make it an extremely deep and rich product to work from as a platform. But also the other piece for developers especially is just the tooling support now in Visual Studio is just, it's fantastic, right? I mean, being able to, as a SharePoint developer, do file new project, write a little bit of code and hit F5 and be debugging right away is just amazing as a SharePoint developer.
Well,
so if you're a WinForm developer or a WPF developer and you understand that F5 pattern of development, that's what you expect, right? And for SharePoint for a long time, that didn't exist. And so now with 2010, developing for SharePoint is as easy as creating WinForm applications.
So really the tooling has caught up with the SharePoint adoption and making it easier for developers?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be it's going to really open up the number of developers that come in and really encourage more breadth of developers to start coding in SharePoint and start building solutions with SharePoint. So in the past, you know, you might have used SharePoint Designer to do a little bit of site redesign or create some list of libraries. That still exists, but now you'll really feel empowered to build more solutions that programmatically take advantage of all that data that's available in SharePoint.
Well, that's great. What are the main tools people use when they're doing the development? I mean, I know Visual Studio is a just a general tool is a great thing, but in 2005 and in 2008, you really didn't understand how the SharePoint data was loaded, so the improvements in 2010 to make it aware. What are the other tools that developers use for doing SharePoint stuff?
Well, so in general, the two main tools that you use are Visual Studio and SharePoint Designer. And SharePoint Designer, you know, professional developers may shy away from it from the way it was in the past, but really it is a great tool now for even professional developers to build. And they'll use SharePoint Designer as the helper tool that will help them create their Visual Studio solutions, right? So in general, in the past, you would have to go out and get lots of different tools and lots of different things and use a variety of tools. But now with Visual Studio, the way that they've built the extensibility means that you will really never need any other tools besides Visual Studio and SharePoint Designer, because if there's some gap in the product or some feature that needs to be addressed, the community is already building extensibility points and add-ins for Visual Studio that address various aspects of the product to make it easier. So in the past where you would go and get a separate tool to do one particular thing, now what we're seeing is that functionality is built right into Visual Studio, so you just basically extend your experience in Visual Studio with the new feature provided by the community or the Visual Studio team for that matter.
So when, how do you determine when you're going to use the designer versus Visual Studio versus just doing it straight through the web? I mean, can both tools pretty much hit the same buttons as far as the features that they interact with, or is one tuned for stuff that the other one isn't?
Well, I mean, in general, you know, there are really three main ways that you can program against SharePoint. I could just go to the website and create new lists and libraries and content types and add stuff there. Or I can use SharePoint Designer to have this rich client-side design tool to help me edit the pages more efficiently and add content and add lists and libraries more efficiently through some design time tools. But then again, you're still going at the site you're pointed at, right?
Correct.
And then the third mechanism is using Visual Studio. And when I use Visual Studio, I generate SharePoint deployment packages or WSP files. And those WSP files are all of the declarative and programmatic ways that you manipulate SharePoint. So where in SharePoint Designer, I may go and add a list by just clicking and saying add new list. In the WSP, I would do that either declaratively or programmatically in that WSP.
Okay.
And so the advantage of using the WSP, which is where ultimately professional developers want to go, is that I can take that WSP and I can then give it to an administrator who can install that WSP in a production environment.
So the story is really
all of the functionality that the WSP contains, and even roll back that functionality if they decide they need to roll that out.
So kind of like an MSI where you would go out and build an installation to manage the install and uninstall of this stuff. It's just being run on the server.
Exactly.
So is the WSP run from a command line?
Well, so you can run, so everything you do now in SharePoint is done through PowerShell. There used to be a command line tool called SDFAdmin, but now everything is done through PowerShell.
Okay.
And so there are PowerShell commands to install and activate your WSP. and that's the way that an administrator would deploy that to a real production environment.
Have you found that it's pretty intuitive for someone who hasn't done PowerShell to pick it up and get up to speed with what they need to know for the SharePoint stuff?
I think so. Most of the time, if you're not sure or haven't used PowerShell, it's fine because you'll just go out on the Internet or go to MSDN and find the line of code you need to install a WSP, right? Mm-hmm. And then once you do those basic commands, cookbook style, where you're just kind of copying it out of a cookbook, then you'll learn how to kind of tie them together and chain commands one to the other as you go get going. So it's a gradual approach, right? You can easily just cut and paste the ones you need right now, but then you eventually discover how to kind of tie them all together in a more cohesive program, if you will.
So SPS Admin, the tool that used to be on the command line, is now just pretty much encapsulated in the PowerShell script. So you really don't need it anymore?
I wouldn't say it's encapsulated, it's deprecated. And so PowerShell goes against the API in a different way than the SPS Admin command.
Mm-hmm.
So SPS Admin, your command stuff still works, but in general there it's deprecated, and so your PowerShell will be the way to do all of that.
All right. So as a developer, how do we get started? Is it a matter of just getting Visual Studio opening up and running the SharePoint project types? Or do you have to have an installation with SharePoint?
Yeah, one of the easiest ways to get up and running is to, if you go out to Channel 9,
mm-hmm.
There's a learning center on Channel 9, and we actually have a five-day instructor-led training course done by Andrew Connell and Ted Patterson out there
mm-hmm.
that will walk you through almost all aspects of SharePoint development. And so start with that course and, you know, watch the videos, do the hands-on labs, and try some of the demos, and that'd be a good way to jumpstart. Now, part of that is that we ship a BHD that's already configured with everything up and running.
Mm-hmm.
So, in general, that if you just want to start development, that's the best way to get started because you don't have to deal with, you know, how do I install it, all that sort of stuff. The BHD is already packaged and ready. If you want to go through the installation process as well, you can either get it on through your MSDN subscription, or you can download the trial version of SharePoint and install it on your local machine. SharePoint 2010, as you know, installs on Windows 7 now. So if you just have a Windows 7 machine that you use as your dev environment, you can install SharePoint on top of that as well and start doing some SharePoint.
Mm-hmm. I think that the fact that you can install a development edition of SharePoint on a Windows 7 machine is really nice. But there are some things that you're limited on what you can do. So I guess kind of working through those is where we'll need to go.
You mean in terms of the Windows 7 environment?
Yeah.
I haven't really seen that many. I think you can pretty much do everything that I can imagine, right? I mean, I have not seen too many limitations on doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a great way to get started, and it's really, you know, especially if you're in a company that has locked down desktops and they don't allow you to install server OS on your desktop,
mm-hmm.
Then it's a great way to get started. But I think, you know, from a developer, just a pure developer standpoint, if you're a hardcore SharePoint developer, I guess my recommendation would be to install on Windows Server. And the reason I say that is not because there's some feature or functionality that doesn't work. It's just in the whole scheme of the universe, having one less platform to then test on when I go to production is just, you know, is always a good thing.
Right.
Right. And so you eventually have to run SharePoint on Windows Server in a production environment. And so you always have to test that environment first. And just building it on that machine up front just eliminates, you know, anything that may come up. But again, I haven't seen any, but just you know, from a philosophical point of view, that just sticks out in my mind.
Do you tend to see that when you do it that way, where you build it on the server, that the migration from the dev to the test to the quad to the pro, or you know, through the different environments, is pretty simple and straightforward? In other words, I go out and build a site with a lot of pages and a lot of content types and event receivers and things like that. Is there a good, clean way that I can migrate that into the next level and then into production?
No, unfortunately, not really. I mean, really the way you need to do is you need to really get everything into a WSP,
yeah,
including the content types. But what makes it easier now is that So one of the great things is that the SharePoint team has standardized on WSPs being the format for moving things around. Just like today, you can do Expression Blend and Visual Studio can work on the same project.
Mm-hmm.
For SharePoint, that unit is a WSP. So I can take a WSP from SharePoint Designer and open it inside of Visual Studio and then continue writing code. Just like I can now go to my site in SharePoint and export the site,
mm-hmm.
where in 2007 you would export that site as a STP package file, which is some kind of proprietary SharePoint format. Now when you export the site in 2010, it exports as a WSP file.
Okay.
So then I can open that and import that into Visual Studio and pick out the pieces that I want to actually put in my final WSP that I deploy. Does that make sense?
So basically I can wrap together multiple different types of things, like a visual web part and event receivers and stuff like that into a single WSP. And
right.
then as deployment, they can turn on the pieces they need.
Yeah, so a WSP, the package file, can contain any number of features, and features can contain any number of functionality or files or web parts or whatever the thing is, that unit of stuff that you're deploying, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So in general, what we try to do is we try to separate features with content from features with programmatic stuff, because in general, the programmatic stuff will change more frequently, and so it makes it easier to keep those separate while you're developing. But again, in Visual Studio, it makes it very easy to, using the new visual package designer, to have features in multiple physical Visual Studio projects, and then using the Package Explorer and the packaging tools in Visual Studio just to drag and drop features between packages to repackage and to re-optimize how your features are deployed. So it's
right.
very powerful and gives you a lot of flexibility.
So a example where you might have multiple projects in one WSP would be like a Silverlight thing, where you build it in one and then package those apps through the WSP?
You can. And, well, in terms of Silverlight, you'll always have at minimum two projects in your Visual Studio for
right.
Silverlight. You'll have the Silverlight project, which the output of that is a ZAP file, an XAP file.
Yep.
And you'll have your SharePoint project, which is the deployment project that actually creates and deploys the WSP. And so you can link those two projects together so that every time you build the SharePoint project, it'll build and take the output of the Silverlight project into your SharePoint project, so that the result is that deploying my WSP also deploys my Silverlight ZAP file to SharePoint as well.
Okay. So the Silverlight story, I know from 2007, that SharePoint came out, and then Silverlight was released after SharePoint was there. It was kind of a challenge, an uphill battle to figure out how to best use it. What's the story in 2010? How have they improved the integration of Silverlight within SharePoint?
Yeah, so from Silverlight 2, so some of the difficulties we had with Silverlight 2 in SharePoint 2007 was that there was a Silverlight server control, an ASP.NET server control for Silverlight that allowed you to build the output object tags for Silverlight. That was really the biggest challenge on getting that set up correctly in SharePoint, was kind of the challenge. In Silverlight 3, they deprecated that, so that server control doesn't exist, so in 4 as well. So now in SharePoint 2010, since we don't have that server control, things become much easier. And in fact, the way that SharePoint 2010 does it, they actually ship a Silverlight-enabled web part right out of the box. So it makes it even easier to do probably the 80% case, which is you just want to host a Silverlight control inside of a web part. In that case, it's simply adding a Silverlight web part and setting the path to your ZAP file. So it becomes very easy to do that now. And some of that history is because of that server control, and some of the history is because of now built-in support for the web part. So in general, it becomes much easier now to do all of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the bottom line is that the web part that gets created for the SharePoint piece is literally coming out of the box. I don't have to go out and do that code myself. That brings up another interesting point about web parts in general. In 2007, to create a web part, I was writing all kinds of code to programmatically create the objects and the instances and the controls and everything else. Tell me about this visual web part.
So the Visual Studio team has created this visual web part, which allows you to create a web part and just drag and drop controls from your toolbox right onto the form, just like you were creating any other ASPX kind of page. Now, the magic behind it is that there's actually an embedded ASPX control that allows you to do that on the web part that the Visual Studio team built into the template. One challenge, though, that I want to talk about is that a new feature in SharePoint is around sandbox solutions, which allow you to run your code in a sandbox that allows you access to the site collection and stuff. But one of the limitations of the sandbox is that you can't do things like writing to the file system or calling the database or things like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that also blocks the visual web parts because the visual web parts being implemented as an ASPX control cause that to not work in sandbox solutions. But since RTM, the Visual Studio team has produced an add-in. If you go to the VS Gallery and search for Power Tools, you'll find the SharePoint Power Tools for Visual Studio added back in the functionality to build sandbox-enabled visual web parts. And so with that functionality, now you can easily build visual web parts for both sandbox solutions and full trust solutions or farm solutions.
Okay. So it's literally, does it have to do with, like, the directories that things are put into and how it's deployed for the sandbox versus non-sandbox?
Yeah, well, so to not go too deep into it here at this, but you can't write to the file system, and ASCX controls get written to the underscore layouts directory in your SharePoint 14 Hive,
mm-hmm.
So which is blocked by a sandbox solution.
Okay. Hey, we've got a question from the audience, and if you've got a question, you just need to press the *8, and then I know that it's there, but we've got Scott in Minneapolis. Scott, you've got something to do with Silverlight?
Yeah. Hi, Paul.
Hey, how are you going?
Doing well. Say, I run the Silverlight user group in the Twin Cities, and one of the questions that I have is, is there a problem domain that you think Silverlight is particularly well suited for with SharePoint that doing an HTML-based Silverlight part was perhaps maybe difficult to visualize what you're trying to do, but you're finding that Silverlight solves a problem that was difficult to solve before with just HTML?
Yeah, I think in general, I mean, Silverlight and SharePoint solves the same problems that Silverlight out on the general internet solves, which are things like rich media support, viewing files, having 3D kind of support or pseudo 3D support, being able to have that very rich visual experience building user interfaces, right? And then I think in general, the tool support for building Silverlight applications is much more straightforward for .NET developers than doing HTML, jQuery, JavaScript kind of interactions. It's a little bit more complicated for general .NET developers. So if I have some simple form or some interactive screen that I want to do, sometimes doing it in Silverlight is much faster, easier to debug than doing it in straight HTML.
Have you found any issues that a novice developer may have to work around in terms of blended content with parts, the Silverlight framework wrapped around Silverlight, I'm sorry, with the SharePoint UI framework wrapped around a Silverlight control that's embedded in the site or anything of that nature?
No, I haven't really seen any issues. You know, one of the challenges that I get a lot of questions about is around part-to-part communication from Silverlight controls. You know, like how do my two Silverlight controls talk to each other? That's generally the one that I hear most often. But, you know, Silverlight has great support for the HTML bridge, so I can easily get out and talk to anything on the page as if it was an HTML control, and I can design my Silverlight application so that other HTML components on the page can also talk to my Silverlight application. So it's a very seamless experience and actually plays very well with the rest of the environment.
Excellent. Thanks, Paul.
Sure.
Thank you, Scott. And then the, you know, along the same lines, I know that SharePoint has got, you know, the way you can put in the Silverlight web part where it takes up the main content, but you can also use Silverlight for controls and for other things as well, too, and programmatically interface with other services, right?
Yeah, I mean, people think web parts is the first way, but you, I mean, ultimately, Silverlight is just an object tag.
Mm-hmm.
So any place in SharePoint where you can see HTML, you can think about that as a perfect target for Silverlight. So navigation, field controls, menus, footers, master pages, I mean, it goes on and on, right?
So SharePoint's built on top of the .NET framework. You've got the ASP.NET model and everything else. And one of the big pushes is the jQuery and the JavaScript and the ability to, you know, do all that interface. You just finished working on a book, didn't you, on SharePoint branding that really dives into that?
Yeah, so I've been working on a book with some others on the SharePoint 911 group.
Uh-huh.
It's about professional SharePoint branding. And some of the chapters that I worked on were around Silverlight, how to integrate Silverlight into your branding experience, and how to really integrate JavaScript and jQuery into that branding experience to really take, you know, branding and interactivity of your site to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been doing a bunch of talks on that. And in fact, my session at VS Live this week is all about how do I, you know, leverage jQuery and JavaScript in my client-side applications for SharePoint.
Do you know if the VS Live sessions are going to be recorded and available for public consumption?
You know, I'm not sure, but if you just pop out to the VS Live website, you can find out more about that information, and it's just vslive.com.
So what other conferences do you have coming up? What's your schedule look like?
Yeah, so I'm pretty busy, so if you're out and about, be sure to come see me.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ones I'll be doing a SharePoint track at the Silicon Valley Code Camp on October 9th.
Ooh.
So if you're down in Silicon Valley, that's always a great event. We usually have 1,500 people or so show up for that, so it's a huge event. I'll also be talking on at SP TechCon in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're out at SP TechCon in Boston, be sure to stop by and see us there. I'll also be speaking at SharePoint Connections in Las Vegas on November 6th.
Mm-hmm.
That's at the Mandalay Bay, so we've got some great demos that we're working on for that, so that's going to be a good conference. And I'll also be at SharePoint Connections in The Hague. So if you're listening to us from Europe, be sure to visit us in September, September 28th. So at the end of September, we'll be in The Hague. And then finally, PDC. I'll be at PDC on October 28th. So we've got some great SharePoint sessions there. And I'll be doing talks around building SharePoint applications for Windows Phone.
Well, it sounds like you've been pretty busy here getting all around the world. So if someone that's listening to this comes up to you and asks, hey, I heard you on MSDN Radio. You got something to give them?
I'm sure I can find something interesting.
Yeah. Well, we do try to have some fun with this, and you know, I really appreciate you coming on, Paul.
Great.
The fact that we met way back at I think it was a Super Bowl with the Chicago Bears getting trounced by someone.
The Bears.
The Bears. I know. it was painful on my side, but the. It was fun anyway to kind of get together and hang out and get to know you a little bit better. So if you have questions for Paul, you can go out to his blog. And, Paul, you want to give us a couple of links to how people can get in touch with you?
Yeah, so blogs.msdn.com/pstubbs.
Okay.
You can also follow me on Twitter at Paul Stubbs. And generally, those are great ways to contact me. I'm on the forums. I'm at conferences all the time. So look me up. Shoot me an email. Follow me on Twitter. We have a great SharePoint community, and just love to hear from everybody and all the interesting things you're working on, because I think SharePoint's really poised to really take off now.
And there's also, is it called SharePointDeveloper.com, which they can get resources as well, and a VHD of SharePoint up and running?
Yep, I have those links on my blog, too, so if you're looking for all those links, we have links to all those on my blog. So.
And rather than writing them all down, just go out to Paul's blog, and we'll have some fun with that. Well, thank you again, Paul. I really appreciate you coming on today.
Yep,
we'll be back with more MSDN Radio in the weeks to come. We'll be posting the schedule up on msdnradio.com. But just in case you have any questions or need anything from me, you can always reach me at mike.bankovich@microsoft.com, and I've got a blog as well. It's blogs.msdn.com/Benko. We will see you online. And so with that, we'll talk to you next time.
So that's it for this Monday. Go to MSDNradio.com and click the registration link if you want to participate in the next show. Until then, happy coding.